out there, y'all. And thanks again so much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, I'm not in here alone. I'm joined by the man that would do anything for a Klondike bar, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skellington Studios. If the power goes out, it's because we're in the middle of a thunderstorm.
Oh.
Of course, you won't know. You'll just hear it end abruptly, right? We'll release it no matter how much it is. If it's 5 minutes long, it's 5 minutes long, right? If we get to do the whole show, we get to do the whole show. No promises. It's coming up.
Just messing with you.
I was like, what happened? No, it just happened. My prophecy came
just
true.
Just messing with y'all.
No, man, I'm doing good. Kids are out of school. They're driving me crazy already. We got some things lined up for this summer, so I'm excited about that. I'm not excited about the hot weather, but, you know.
I'll take it.
When spring is over, when winter's over, it's nice. I got lots of things I can do outside. I got some
like
stuff
mowing.
I don't do the mowing anymore. I used to do that. I've reached a financial status where I don't have to no longer push around a lawnmower.
Where do your boys leave?
Yeah, when they leave, then I'm going to buy me one of those fancy zero turn things. Those things look awesome, right? I saw one where guys, they got kits. You can soup them up.
Ooh.
Yeah, I want mine like really fast.
That sounds fun.
Right?
Now, look, I like to watch the goat or the riding mower races.
Yeah.
I would like to do that one time. Well, like to build me a ride mo. Yeah. Fear and common sense.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we didn't have those fancy stuff. When I was a kid, we had a push mower and then we had tractors.
Yeah.
1951 Farmall.
Mm-hmm.
I had brush hog.
What was that one that we had? Was it like a 52 or a 49? It was the Massey Ferguson. Remember that one out there? That the old red. That one was a good one too.
Yeah, the Farmall is almost exactly like a Massey Ferguson. Almost exactly. Now they got a lot of different brands that we didn't have back then. There was no Kubota in them. Back then, those old timers, even like, I ain't driving no, you know, Asian company tractors.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no, man, it's got to be a Long. It's got to be a White. It's got to be a New Holland, International.
This is the guy that gets lost on the YouTube watching all the old tractor restorations and whatnot. Look, neat. I have
gone down that rabbit hole before. I get on some weird tangents on YouTube. YouTube is my favorite. Like, I literally could cut every other streaming service that we pay subscriptions for at our house at Casa de Filson. I ain't giving up YouTube Premium.
No.
No way.
It's my favorite thing.
Because no matter what I'm thinking about that day, like, I wonder if I can make homemade hamburger buns. Next thing you know, you're 15 videos deep. You know, it doesn't matter what it is.
You're making artisanal buns.
It is like
nice artisanal buns, Mr. Filson.
The greatest invention since like the printing press, really.
Whoa. I mean,
it's amazing, right?
Ooh, hot take here.
Dude, I love it.
Ooh, unpopular opinion here. Here we go.
I mean, Luke's watching hot takes on, okay, so Luke's been on a werewolf kick all of a sudden.
Oh,
I don't
no,
know what
Jesus.
Happened. Don't know what happened. But the other day we watched American Werewolf in London again.
Same.
And then we watched The Howling. And then up on deck this week, we're watching Dog Soldiers, which he's never seen.
Oh.
I had to make him pinky swear that he wouldn't go on YouTube and watch spoilers because that's what he likes to do. Every time we go to a movie.
Let me ask you this. Are you going to believe that?
No, I'm not
going to
believe it. Every time we go to a movie, he already knows what's going to. And the Black Demon comes out next week, which is a shark movie. Cam, I'm sure you might like that.
Absolutely not.
And so we're going to go see that. We got some stuff planned. I'm looking forward to it. I got a lot of cool things. So a lot of cool movies coming out. The new Indiana Jones is coming out soon.
I can't wait. Yes.
What else is there? There's another one that looked pretty good that I saw that was coming out. Summer always has the best movies.
You know, we watch a lot of movies and shows and grew up with all these, you know, great actors and actresses and all of this. And usually you see them when they pass, the older ones have passed, you know, and it doesn't mean so much. Or you're just kind of like, oh, man, that's awful. You know, I feel bad for them, this, that, or the other. It hit me with Sean Connery, right?
Yeah, right.
As I'm like, ugh. Ugh, dude, I just because I'd seen him in so much, I'm like, that hurts. But when Harrison Ford passes, dude, that's going to be rough. Him and Clint Eastwood, those are going to be some rough ones.
Yeah,
because I mean, like, dude,
they're legends.
Was you more? Of course, we know you're way more of an Indiana Jones fan than you are a Star Wars fan.
Absolutely, yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. I've got something here too that you're a fan of.
Okay,
as I parlay into this, you know, we love the headlines.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
Just eat up with the headlines. And Lon takes care of us.
Boy,
and
does
like,
he.
Dude, and like I said, he sends us some wild stuff. Like, I love talking with that guy.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Lon slides into my DMs like once a week, man. I'll be just out and about. My phone will ring, and I'll look, and it's Lon Strickler with some crazy sighting. He loves to get me ramped up.
But he knows exactly what we like.
He does.
Because he knows, like, this, they're going to like this. So he... Man.
I think he changes the titles just to mess with you.
He might. Well, if he does, this is what he did. This is how he caught me, folks. Listen to this. A 2+ foot long, headless, moth-like creature observed in Mesa, Arizona.
It's a baby Mothra.
The headline alone, and that's all I got. That's all I got to read. Listen,
it's a giant insect.
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much. Says, hello, Lon. I enjoy reading your blog, though I am not the type who sees a UFO or spiritual entity every time there's a shadow or flash. I am open-minded and respectful of others, and I have had to share or my share of strange experiences and hardships, but now I'm happily normal wife and mother in her 40s. The experience I'd like to share with you happened in the summer of 2002. I was 20. Still living at home in a rental in East Mesa, Arizona, with my 18-year-old brother and my mom. As you may know, Arizona has a typical six-month-long, scorching, dry summer climate, and being a transplant from beautiful Northern California, it was hard for us to adapt. Anyhow, it was a hot summer night in late May or early June, about now, Kyle.
Yeah.
My brother had just graduated high school, and I was working full-time during the day. We spent our evening talking and laughing and playing music. It really was a memorable, enjoyable night. At about 10:30, I noticed that the front porch light had again burned out, as it had been doing for about 18 months prior to that. In fact, both of the lights over the driveway and three lights in our backyard were continually ceasing to function, and it seemed I was always buying bulbs and expensive strobe light bulbs. I don't know if this is somehow connected or what happened next. First, I must add that our front door was set back into the house with the garage protruding. Our front yard was much deeper than the backyard and was overshadowed by three velvet mesquite and chinaberry trees and various species of cactus. So the street light did little to penetrate the den of darkness. I turned the lamplight to my bedroom, which was really an office nook right next to the front door, which had a large latticed pictured window with run-of-the-mill blinds. I opened the blinds and the light flooded the wall of the garage. What I saw made my skin crawl. There, on the stucco wall, was some thing. It was only about 10 to 12 feet from where I was standing. Now, the only way to describe it was what looked like a giant headless moth. I called my brother over excitedly. I clearly remember our conversation. What do you suppose that is? I have no idea. It must be a bat of some sort. But we only have microbats here in Arizona, and I've always heard that bats hang upside down. Well, I guess it could be a giant moth. We do live in the desert. I thought moths were attracted to light. The lights are all burned out again. We talked for a moment and stood next to the glass panes adjacent to the front door. The bedroom light illuminating all the while, and the thing did not stir or move. We decided it was about 18 inches to 2 feet long from blunt top to winged bottom. It was very clear, yet very dark, almost black. It had no antennae that were visible. It hung on the wall like a moth, but was about the size of a medium-sized fruit bat, which I believe only exists in Asia. I was about 5 or 6 feet off the ground, or it was, rather. My mother came and had a look and shuddered, and then she refused to go stand near the door. We were both young and curious, and my brother said, let's go have a look at it. So we swung the door open and the security screen open, and he took a step over the door jamb. I was suddenly struck with an unreal, unearthly fear, and I grabbed his shoulder. He looked back at me and later said I had the most wholly terrified look on my face that he'd ever seen. I'm afraid and tingly even writing this. Without a word, he stepped back inside and we locked both doors and closed the blinds and camped out in the living room, only going to sleep after several thoughtful conversations. The very next morning at sunrise, I went out to the wall with a tape measure, and my brother and mom stood at the door and directed me as to where and how high and how long this thing had been planted. There was no trace of anything. The dust on the stucco looked the same all around. There was no residue or anything. When they were both satisfied with the positioning, I read the tape measure, 28 inches. My mother walked back into the house and has absolutely refused to speak of this since. My brother and I are both keenly interested in animal, insect, and plant life via books and media, and I have taken an MCC course in Southwest biology, and neither of us has ever seen or heard of anything matching its description. My husband was raised here and said the only thing that he could think of that size was an owl, but this was no owl. What was it? Perhaps it was a real animal that we could not identify. Has someone had a similar experience or know what it could be? We're not exaggerating, people. We are level-headed and analytical. Thank you for your time. JBC, Mesa, Arizona.
So they saw a giant insect.
A giant moth. Well, now,
why didn't they take a picture?
That's an excellent point. Excellent point. It's 2002. Maybe that had something to do with it.
The resolution was terrible, but still. I've seen some ginormous moths in my day. Nothing that size.
No, you've seen four inches,
you know,
yeah,
like
big
ones.
As big as your hand,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A 28-inch, but headless moth.
I'd be terrified. I'm not a real big fan of bugs, especially spiders.
But, I want to know how big the wings were.
There's no telling.
Right. Man, I don't know. I'm at a loss. So we've done it in the past where we had talked about giant lizards, giant insects, things that we're seeing like all through New Zealand and Australia. All of this stuff we have seen down in there. I remember we talked about one in Australia. It was like a giant monitor lizard that somebody had seen that was like 12 footer, walked by like three people. Right past.
I like to think that in Java and Borneo and some of these jungles, these
in the Congo,
there's still just ginormous insects.
That's what I like to believe. I like to believe that 100% those are still real.
Right? Like a giant-sized Jersey Mike's Subway sandwich centipede walking around, you know?
That sounds awesome. When in Arizona, where were they? Arkansas, another A state, where they had seen them in and out of like North Carolina and the Carolinas and up and down all through the Ozarks.
Yeah, yeah.
In Appalachia, where they had seen giant centipedes or millipedes or
Real. I mean, I hope to never see it, but I hope it's real.
Yeah. But you know what? Why do big insects make sense?
I don't know. It just does.
Right? Like in the ocean, like we always talk about, something giant in the ocean just makes sense.
Totally.
A big insect just makes sense. Although you don't imagine a praying mantis the size of like a Doberman.
Oh, we'd be dead.
Right?
It would just tear you apart. Starship Troopers. We'd have to all get guns and just eradicate them.
That's a factual.
Check this story out. This is pretty bizarre. I don't really know what category to put it in, but creepy. Let's put it in that
Cool category.
Right? It says, this happened around 6 years ago. I was traveling by car through the South Island of New Zealand with my partner at the time. We wanted to enjoy the natural landscape, but hadn't done much planning. For those who aren't familiar, the South Island is sparsely populated, aside from a few main cities. Once we left these cities, there were long stretches of road and the occasional town, usually with a couple hundred people or less. With no itinerary, we decided to just go on a day-to-day basis of which roads we were even going to take, relying on cheap lodgings as we went. On this particular day, we were driving towards the west coast, although I can't remember the specific location. We had already been driving for a few hours, and we came across what appeared to be a fairly small town. It seemed to consist of one main street with a few surrounding houses. One thing I found strange was that there were no visible cars and no pedestrians. However, being a Sunday afternoon, I attributed this to being a day of rest. As we were driving through, I noticed that there was this small cafe with some people inside. And though it could be a good chance to maybe have some good coffee and a bathroom break, we decided to go in and check it out. So we parked the car across the road and I stepped out while my partner waited inside. I remember being impressed by the number of people in the cafe and thought, so this must be the hot spot in town. That's what I told myself. But as I stepped onto the wooden porch, I realized something wasn't right. It registered that while there seemed to be at least 20 people inside, it was completely silent. No voices, no music, no nothing. I took a long, good look through the window. What I thought were people sitting, talking and enjoying their meals, was instead a large number of mannequins, all uniquely dressed and painstakingly posed in ways that mimicked a lively crowd. Some wore wigs, hats, and/or necklaces. Cutlery had been placed for those at the tables. I suddenly got a terrible feeling in my gut. I wish I had more details about this place. However, I've watched enough horror movies to know it was best to leave as soon as possible and not to find out. The cloudy skies and horde of cows staring at us from across the road were not much comfort either, as I walked briskly back to the car. I got into the car and I told my partner what happened and we quickly left. I know this may not present as immediately threatening as other stories on your show. However, something just didn't feel right. It didn't seem to be a museum or a clothing store. Instead, it was staged, like a staged scene, unlike anything I've ever seen. I realized later that this may not have been even necessarily been a real town, since it didn't have a gas station or any supplies or any stores in sight. I still think about this every now and then, and I'll tell you, it still creeps me out. It is, of course, possible that this was nothing. However, I still think it didn't feel right. I've tried to Google this to see if it was some sort of tourist attraction or a movie set, but I was unable to find anything. Would love to hear what you guys think. Jim. That is kind of creepy, right?
Oh, man.
You think it's filled with people, and then you realize it's all fake. Everything's fake. It's like, I would mean, like, are they fixing to test a nuclear warhead here or
right?
something?
You know?
I know what he means, though. Like, it's not paranormal. Nothing happened, but it's still just kind of like, this is creepy.
But what's the point of even having that out there, right?
Well, that's what he wants to know. Is it like this is all one big gag that somebody's put on and he just didn't know about it?
Boy, if you wanted to really creep somebody out and you had a big swath of land, like you owned a bunch of land somewhere.
On both sides of a road, a highway.
And just out in the middle of nowhere and you built something like that.
A couple of fake buildings, and everything was just mannequins.
Just to just be bothersome. That's wild. So if any of y'all out there know of this place.
Yeah, all the way down in New Zealand. I would love to go to New Zealand.
Oh, I'm afraid I wouldn't come back.
I think they throw you out. Like, I think it's really hard to immigrate there.
They would have to because that place is beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. Well,
Wait. I got something for you.
Okay.
I have something I have to share with you because we were talking about lawn. And again, I want you to listen to this one right here.
Sure.
The title, of course, is I Encountered an Unknown Intelligent Humanoid. So it wasn't you or me. So listen to this bad boy, and you'll see why I like it. It says, I encountered an unknown intelligent humanoid. I pulled into my driveway in Fernandina? I'm going to go with
the
Fernandina.
The Great Frandini. Sounds like a magician.
Right? The Great Frandini Beach, Florida, around 9 p.m. on the evening of September 6th, 2022. It was very dark out with no cars or streetlights nearby. I stopped my car and shut it off. I then opened the door and stood up to exit the vehicle. And as I stood up, I saw something difficult to describe. With the car door still open, I saw what looked like some kind of cloaked creature walking around the corner of the house from the backyard. Now, it was hard to see. It looked like the shadow of a human-sized creature. It was totally black and moved like a person walking upright. It blocked out what was behind it, and I could really only see the distortion it caused.
Mm.
The distortion had wavy edges, as if it was surrounded by energy. I could make out its head and shoulders, but only in vague form. See, the humanoid took several steps, and at that instance, I thought to myself, what is that? It stopped dead in its tracks and appeared to look right at me. At this time, I was scared to death that this creature had noticed me and was looking right through me. After a few seconds of looking at each other, the creature turned and walked back around behind the house, and I never saw it again. The entire encounter lasted about 20 seconds. Now, I thought for months it was a ghost or demon, or as my grandmother often told me, stories of ghosts and seeing them. Only recently have I began to think that it was an intelligent creature with technology that was inexplicable. After the encounter, I got back into my car and drove to my roommate's work and waited for him to get off work and come home with me. This was the most terrifying experience I've ever had. This is the second unknown encounter I've had. For years, I believed that encounters like these were just reported by crazy people. I now believe that we are clearly not alone and not the smartest or most technologically advanced creatures on this planet and beyond. I have seen where you write and report about various humanoids and other unexplained beings. What are your thoughts? I reported this encounter on MUFON, but it was ignored. Thanks for your time, GH.
Mel G.H., it sounds very much like a Glimmer Man, right?
Right.
This predator-like being that people are starting to see a lot of places. It's a very interesting topic. In fact, we're going to be talking about some more Glimmer Man sightings after the break. Cam, what do you think it was?
Look, it's a Glimmer Man by the encounter, but it doesn't seem like a Glimmer Man by the interaction. Most of them, now look, we've had a couple where we've talked about where they were in people's houses.
Sure.
Right? Something seen like that. That could have easily been, you know, ghosts, of course. But for most of the Glimmer Man encounters that we've received throughout all this whole time now, and all these others we've read, for the most part, they stay away from you.
Yeah.
They don't really interact like that. They don't really. And even though it was just walking around, you know, it's still. But I don't know. The thing that strikes me the strangest, or maybe the most normal, is how nonchalant this thing was whenever they saw it.
Yeah.
That tells me this thing has been there and done this before more than once in order for it to be comfortable. You're not going to be slipping around places that you're not comfortable. So this thing was comfortable. So whatever was going on, this thing has been there before. I'd keep an eye out for it.
I would too. Well, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to be talking about some more Glimmer Man sightings. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Back with Expanded Perspectives. There's a lot of sightings of this Glimmer Man, this cloaked predator. It goes by several different names. Some people don't like that name. Some people do like the name. That's the thing with this cryptid, is it's not really sure. We don't know what this is, right? Some people say it's a demon. Some people think it's alien. Some people think it's time travelers.
Us.
Some people think it's you. There's different theories. I don't know what it is, but I know that the sightings, at least the reporting of the sightings, is increasing. And there's been lots of stories sent to you and I. There's been lots of stories posted on lots of different websites and forums. Lon has been posting a lot of it on Phantoms and Monsters if you're interested in that type of thing. There's just a lot of cool sightings out there. And I think we're going to cover a couple today. So check this one out. It says, I think I had a Glimmer Man sighting in late 2000.
Word.
Says, for over 20 years, I did not know what to call what I saw until today when I found your podcast. I just called it the Predator because that's what it looked like. Now, back in 2000, I was in the Air Force as a security police augmentee. There was a shortage of security police at the base, and I was stationed where I was stationed, and I was made into a temporary security police officer at a base in the Southwest United States. I was patrolling the National Guard side of the base with another airman when we saw that the lights were on in an office building that we had just passed moments before. And when we did then, the lights were off. So we decided to check it out. We went inside. There was a long hallway, and out of one of the rooms, a big, invisible, predator-like creature came out and started moving rapidly towards us. The airman, ahead of me and by about 10 feet, moved over and made himself flat against the wall as this thing passed him. This thing was coming right for me, and I froze. I'll admit it. I didn't know what to do. The airman yelled at me, "Get out of the way!" And I did at the very last second. I saw this thing move past me rapidly, and there was a strong gust of wind behind him after it passed me. It just disappeared about 2 feet past me. Whenever I tell someone, they never believe me. I'm glad there are other people in this world that have seen something similar and that I'm not crazy. What I saw at first, I thought was a ghost, but like I said, I actually felt a breeze when it passed me. So therefore, I think it was physical. That's when I found your podcast talking about Glimmer Man sightings. Thanks for all you do, Joe. So this was indoors. This is another one that we've only seen indoors, but it was in an office building there on this base, this Air Force base or wherever they were at. And it just moved past them in a hallway. So was it somebody like Watergate secretly going through these files in this office building?
Or was the other airman was like, hey, look out, get out of the way. Like, he wasn't as shocked.
Yeah, it's pretty strange.
Man, that is very strange.
Yeah, I mean, it's a
in an office building, basically.
Yeah, when they were patrolling at night. Check this one out. It says, there's something in the woods.
Yeah, for sure.
It says, this is going to sound strange, but I didn't know what I saw until talking with a coworker one day, and they suggested to me you saw the Glimmer Man. Now, this caught me off guard, as I've never heard of a Glimmer Man before. Now, I haven't read too much into this topic, as I have a lot going on, but I soon realized that this ties in just about everything that has happened since we moved in a year ago. I'm going to start with the seemingly unrelated incidents that have led up to the most recent eye-opening experience. Keep in mind that this is my wife's account, and I've never really used any forums or anything like that till now. I'm trying to wrap my head around what my eyes have seen. I've always been extremely skeptical of these types of stories, but I have to say, after this experience, I am a believer. So here it goes. About a year ago, I moved my family and I to a home way out in the woods in Tennessee. I wanted to be brief here, but I need to get this off my chest. And after looking into this matter a little more, I have a lot more details that I think will paint a clear picture in the end, so please bear with me. The nights here can be extremely loud. Between the crickets, the tree frogs, and the cicadas, it can almost be deafening. One night, not too long after we moved in, I had forgotten something in my car, and I headed outside to go get it. The first thing that struck me as odd was that my dog wouldn't go outside with me. Now, my dog goes everywhere with me, as I'm her whole world. But not this night. As I held the door open, she looked out and then looked up at me like, nope. So I walked out and I shut the door behind me. The second thing that caught me off guard was that there wasn't a peep. There was no sound at all. It was dead silent. Still, I shrugged this off and walked down my front steps and headed down to my car. When I'd gotten about 10 feet from my car, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. I felt as though something was watching me. I looked around, but saw nothing. After I reached in my car for what I had forgotten to grab earlier, I had this feeling like something was moving towards me. I took a step back and checked out my surroundings. All of a sudden, I heard one of my hedges next to me that lined the walkway to the front of our door rattle. At first, I thought it was a rabbit that I'd probably accidentally spooked, as I'd seen one just earlier in the day right where that was. A few seconds later, I heard the sound of a large rock about the size of a cantaloupe, landing a few feet from me. It hit the walkway and bounced into a shrub. I knew something had thrown it. I drew my gun and called out and said, whoever that was, better knock it off or be prepared to get shot. After a few seconds of nothing, I began to think that this was some local teenagers probably messing with the new people. I holstered my sidearm and turned and started walking back to my front door. Almost as soon as I turned towards my house, I heard this deep panting sound. It sounded like a huge dog, but what made me say nope and run back to the front door is that it sounded like it was right behind me. I leaped up onto my porch and turned and drew my gun again, expecting something to be there, but there was nothing. A couple weeks later, I was on my porch again at night, sitting on a bench with my wife. She got up and walked inside to get something. As soon as she shut the door, I heard that panting sound again. I strained and searched, but again, I couldn't see anything. Yet it sounded like it was right next to me. The sound was coming from everywhere, and it was very loud. Again, I couldn't see anything, so I said nope and went back inside my house. Now, at this point, I was questioning moving here because besides this, nothing else was really happening. A month or so later, it was really raining. It was a stormy night. This was around 9 p.m., and my wife and I enjoy listening to the rain and talking about how relaxing the rain is. me growing up in Oregon, I love the rain. And for the past 10 years, we lived in Vegas, where it would dump the entire year of rain in one day and then be bone dry for the rest of the year. For my wife, who grew up in Nevada, rain was such a rare thing that she loved going outside and watching it. So for us, this was an enjoyable experience. Except this night in particular, things took a weird turn. As we were sitting there talking about the rain and relaxing, my wife stops me and said, "Hey, did you hear that?" I said, "No, what did you hear?" She said, "I swear it sounded like a small child calling for help out in the woods beside our house." I said, "No, I didn't hear anything." After a few moments of us listening intently, she said, "There it is again." Again, I said, "I didn't hear anything, sweetie. Are you sure you're not just hearing things?" She looked at me offended that I didn't hear anything and said, "No, I'm positive. How could you not hear that? It sounded like it was our son. I think he's out there. Maybe he's lost." I said, "No, he's in the house sleeping on the couch." We both looked through the blinds and that were open and right behind us, and we could see all of our children were just laying there. She said, "Man, that's weird. I swear it sounded like our son." I said, "Well, it isn't him. He's right there. Besides, I don't hear anything." Then she stands up and says, "Wow, he's really crying for help. I need to go look for him." Now, at this point, if you knew my wife, you would know she's absolutely creeped out by the woods and wouldn't be caught dead walking into them during the daylight, much less at night during a thunderstorm. I grabbed her by the hand and said, "I've been listening intently, and I absolutely don't hear anybody out there calling for help. You need to stay right here." At this point, I'm getting worried about her. She was acting completely out of character, not to mention that this time she is 8 months pregnant with our baby daughter. She then says, "What if there's some child out there lost in the woods?" And I said, "Well, first off, I'd be able to hear them too. And secondly, there are no kids around here for miles. And the odds of them being lost 100 feet from our house that's lit up like a Christmas tree is nil." She then says, "I know, but what if it's a kid?" Before I could say anything else, she stands up and starts walking towards the stairs. I jumped up and grabbed her hand again and said, "No, you're not going out there. Get in the house. I don't know what's going on, but you need to go inside." She complied, and we both went inside. I don't know what was going on, but I was kind of freaked out. A few months later, just as it was getting dark outside, I heard the front door to our house open. So I got up to investigate. We have autistic 6-year-old twins, and we have the door set up so that they can't open it without us there. So to hear this sound, it could only be my wife. What was weird was the fact that she usually doesn't go outside without saying something to me. I walked out front and I saw my wife walking down our private road towards the drive on the side of our house. And I asked her, "What are you doing?" She says she was sitting on the back patio and kept hearing a baby crying in the woods. I said, "Seriously, you just decided to go walk off into the woods to investigate?" She looked out into the woods and says, "See? There it is again." Now again, I can't hear anything. But what I did notice is that it was completely silent out again. I told her just like before that the chances of a baby being out there in the woods was ludicrous. And she just kept saying, "Well, what if it's somebody's child out there? We need to help." I eventually convinced her to go back in the house. A few days later, we were out on the porch again. And this time we noticed something moving in the trees. It wasn't quite dark yet. The sun had set, but it wasn't dark. Again, she said she could hear a child in the woods calling to her. Again, I couldn't hear anything, but we both visibly saw something moving through the trees. I swear to God, it looked like the Predator when it's cloaked. Not the alien with the teeth and strange-looking jaws, but when it's cloaked, where it looks like cellophane, like jelly, like you can't focus on it, but it's in the shape of a human. We saw it casually move through the trees and then move off. We went inside. It's been driving us crazy ever since. What is in the woods? What did we see? Why is it trying to lure my wife into the woods? Why don't I hear anything other than strange panting from time to time? Any thoughts would be really appreciated. Thanks for your help, Caleb. Well, this has a couple of different things in it going on, right? To me, this sounds a lot like Faye sounds like Pukwudgies. There's all these stories of fae folk and Pukwudgies, especially in the Northeast, that try to lure you into the woods and something bad's going to happen. Or like we've talked about before, I can't remember off the top of my head what they're called in Japan, where they try to lure young mothers into the ocean because they think they hear a baby out there drowning or something. Yeah. And then it sounds like that, but then it also has the signs of a Glimmerman sighting with the, you know, the cloaked predator-like being in the trees. We've talked about this before on other shows. Maybe it's the same. Maybe the predator is fae. Maybe it's like they can somehow
this whole story feels very fae.
Right? Like they can cloak themselves.
Very
remote
fae.
Part of Tennessee. I don't know. It's scary. And lucky for you, you're smart enough to not let your wife go out there looking around for
and it's like she's the only one
child.
That could hear it.
That's what it sounds
that
like.
That is fae.
And there's been, you know, we've read lots of stories about fae, and we don't know why they target certain people.
True, true.
But it does seem that way, right? Like it does seem like they can target and pick out certain people. And I don't know if these people are blessed, you know, they're more sensitive to this type of thing.
Yeah.
It's completely random. But this is the first time I've heard of a Glimmerman signing along with calling out to people trying
to
lure
them
into
the
woods.
That's the thing that caught me so off guard is that right there. If it's a full interaction, if it was one in the same, what if the Glimmerman's there hunting Faye? Right? Like we still don't know exactly what it is.
Yeah, I guess that's possible.
But when you were reading it, all I could think about was Predator 2 with the want some candy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Want some candy? Yeah.
That's all I could think about was that's what it's – you can't tell where the sound is exactly coming from. But you can hear it clearly.
Which is also sounds like poltergeist activity.
Yes.
I mean, like there's a lot going on
there's
in the story.
Yeah,
for one story, there's a lot going on.
Yes.
I got another one here.
Hit me.
Check this out. It says, please don't think I'm crazy. We saw what I can only describe as the creature from the Predator movie in the San Bernardino National Forest. Okay. I totally understand if no one believes this because we are still unsure of what the hell happened. But we sat down and came to our consensus on the events and all agreed we witnessed the same thing. Me and three buddies were hiking Thursday and Friday in San Bernardino National Forest. There's various trails, mostly the known ones and mostly during the day. Friday, we were making our way to Clark's Summit. As we were walking, one by one, we noticed that we were veering off the trail. I asked my friend in front of me why he decided to go off trail. And he asked our friend who was in front of him the same thing. The friend in front of us told us, I can hear a woman talking. You guys don't hear that? We didn't hear anything. We tried to convince her to leave it be because it was already kind of dark. We were close to where we wanted to set up camp on the trail. The friend in front is a female and insisted that she heard what sounded like a female calling out for help, and that she sounded really close. So I think she felt inclined to investigate a possible female in distress. Now, while we were totally okay with going about on our business and trying to help somebody out if they needed help, me and my other friend didn't hear anything. Okay, I get a little bit spooked now because she's absolutely serious, and we absolutely could not hear whatever she was hearing. Here's where it got even weirder. We only ventured off the trail about 300 to 400 meters, yet at one point we were completely lost. We don't have any fancy gear or any GPS or cell phones or stuff like that because we never really needed it. But we've been on this trail enough to know we hadn't gone very far, yet we couldn't find the trail in any direction after walking for about 15 or 20 minutes. I started to feel weird, kind of dizzy, kind of lightheaded. And when I mentioned this to the other two, they said they felt weird as well. It was like something had changed the environment around us or moved us somehow to another location. I had no idea which way to go, and now it was fully dark. My female friend said the woman's voice had said, I'm over here, and please help me. She said it sounded like the woman was hurt and was crying. So here we are. Somehow lost after only walking for about 20 minutes off a large trail because my friend is hearing voices. We decided to stop walking in any direction, because the last thing you want to do at night is to get even more lost. We had two tents and sleeping bags in our packs, so we found a clearing, and we set up camp. We figured once the sun was out, we'd easily find our way back to the trail. Before we could even lay down to rest, I noticed a tree near us was moving, as if something was climbing it. It was really dark, and I wear glasses, so I'm really struggling to see. So I called them over to see. I thought it was an animal at first, but it wasn't an animal. It wasn't anything. I could see the outline of what roughly looked like a human shape, but it was completely transparent, like completely see-through. The best way I can describe it is the way heat waves look on the pavement in the summer. You know, that wavy, liquid effect. They saw it too. My male buddy said, "What the heck are we looking at?" When he finally spotted it, they all said the same thing. It was transparent, but still moved visible due to the foliage around it being displaced and moving as it moved. We all just stood stone still, whispering theories back and forth as to what we thought we were looking at. I thought maybe it was some kind of optical illusion, but they both immediately jumped to aliens, of course. The thing just sat there, perched on a large branch about 50 feet up. It's like it was watching us watch it. The other oddity is that after staring at this thing for about 10 minutes, we noticed all the normal forest sounds we heard prior had stopped completely. I mean, the only noise was us talking and the leaves under our feet. The hairs on my neck stood up and I had goosebumps all over. I realized this like something was truly wrong. After about 10 minutes of us just standing there, whatever this thing was started to climb up the tree even more, until we could no longer see it. We approached the base of the tree slowly and walked around in a circle with our necks cranked up, trying to see this thing. But it was too dark, and the trees were too close for us to see the top. We didn't hear it jump to another tree, so we assumed it was still up there. We were all too spooked, obviously, to camp right underneath whatever this was, so we gathered up our stuff and started walking towards the moon. I shit you not, after about 5 minutes of walking, we were back on the main trail. I literally dropped my bag and said, "Man, what the heck is going on?" out loud. We all stood there. We were all confused, looking around trying to confirm what we were seeing. My buddy likes to joke and said, "Maybe we walked through some kind of hallucinogenic spores and had imagined all of that." I highly doubted that, but whatever happened, it seemed kind of, I guess, predatory. Like it seems like something was luring us or trying to confuse us. My friend still thinks we were messing around by not hearing the woman she claimed to hear. Or in that we saw this thing was imitating a woman. How did we get so lost so close to the trail? This was easily the weirdest thing I've ever experienced in the wilderness. We still don't have a good theory as to what we saw. It may not have been an alien, but whatever it was, it was humanoid and was 100% transparent, although somehow, I don't know how, and able to climb a really large tree with ease without making much noise. I would love to hear any theories about what this may have been. Has anyone else seen anything like this hiking in these woods? I have one more thing to add. I mean, we were not drinking and we were not taking any drugs. Wow. Again, with the luring them.
This is getting to be more common.
The crying woman voices, the person thinks that they hear somebody in trouble. And then when they just shortly go off the main trail, they talk about this in time slips, right? Like immediately they feel like something's different.
Yes.
Like they've been transported to another part of the forest somehow. Did they walk through a portal?
Well, that's why they were seeing this thing too, right? When there's total silence in there.
Smell of ozone.
Man.
Everything gets quiet. So did they walk through a portal and they were transported somewhere and that's why they saw this strange looking creature? Or was the creature somehow teleporting them to another location so that it could do something sinister to them? And they just didn't take the bait. You know, like they used Dimension Door and just took them
right.
Over somewhere over here and then they were going to be abducted or...
Well, it would make sense.
Missing 411, you know, these stories of people in the woods and people are in like dreamlike states. Sometimes they find them and they're alive. And when the SAR experts are asking them what the heck, it's like they're in a trance. And then like they come out of it and they're like, I don't even know where I was.
Yeah.
It's like, what's doing that?
It is so strange too. But the thing with them calling to the people, right? Trying to entice them to come in there and only a select people can hear it is the thing that really, really has my interest. How can they discern who hears what unless it's all like telekinesis, Kyle, mind bullets?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because look, if any other way you would hear it, right? But how would Jay call to you and not me, or me and not you, if we're side by side?
Yeah, I agree. That's what I'm saying.
That has to be. And again, it goes back into, I'd like to know if they've got like Rh negative blood. Like what is there something with this vibrational frequency, like we've talked about, that people could tune into or that seem to be already pre-programmed for? Like that's got to be something along those lines for them to be able to hear it maybe. But that doesn't necessarily sound like Fey. That sounds like something even more sinister than Fey, or maybe even darker Fey, I guess. I don't know. But that, where if they're going to try to teleport you to someplace else, right, time slip you to someplace else, or what it makes me wonder is, what were they around? Is its craft there? Is its feeling and smell? And is it because there's a craft that's invisible around there too?
Possibly. And in both instances, only the woman could hear it.
Yes.
So like, are they trying to abduct women so they can do some kind of alien hybridization project?
I don't know. Right?
Check this one out. This one's another one pretty interesting. This is told by a man's wife. She said, I cannot convince my husband to tell this story, so I'm going to be telling his sighting of a glimmer man that he had. Now, I just had him repeat it to me again, so I make sure I didn't mess up this story, but here it goes. My husband grew up in Vermont, where it was very, very wooded everywhere. Vermont feels like a pretty benign place as far as absolutely everything goes, LOL, but still, where there's a lot of woods, there's always a lot of strangeness. I firmly believe that. The woods is not a human domain. It belongs to the animals and God knows what else. So about 30 years ago, when he was in high school, he and his buddies were hanging at a friend's house. The edge of the forest was probably 5 or 6 car lengths away from the porch where they were just hanging out. Now, he has never smoked or drank or did anything mind-altering due to a medical condition he has. So there he was, of complete sound mind, just randomly looking at the forest edge when he sees what he claims was a tall humanoid, invisible-ish figure, just strolling along the edge of the forest, just inside of the tree line. He watched it, he said, slowly walked the length of the property, and then eventually out of sight. He said that he never would have noticed it if he hadn't been looking directly at the spot where it appeared initially. And that was it. He said it was so bizarre. He didn't tell his friends and just played it off like nothing happened. The only description he could give besides the weird predator-type invisibility aspect was that it was definitely humanoid-shaped, sort of slowly, slightly swinging its arms, and it was definitely tall. I thought this story is so crazy. Also, just FYI, my husband is a no-nonsense, practical, down-to-earth sort of man with a lot of integrity. So he's not the type to make up things like this at all. He is an open person, too, though, and has seen a number of strange things in the woods over times here in Vermont. I've never seen my husband so much as pull a practical joke on anyone, so I don't think he's making this up. It happened to him back in high school, but he swears by what he saw. I had to tell him, you saw the Glimmer Man. Again. So, with this story, again, I say is lots of people will write into the show and they will claim that this is Bigfoot and that Bigfoot has the ability to cloak itself, right? Mm-hmm. That the Glimmer Man is truly just a Sasquatch. And they could be correct. I don't know. I don't have any answers. I don't know what Cam's theory is on the matter, but it definitely could be Bigfoot. It could be Fey. It could be aliens. It could be lots of things. And that's why the stories are so intriguing, is we don't really have any good answers for what it is.
Is because we don't. There's no way, like we've said, we love to put it in a category. And this is one of those ones that you can't really categorize.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of hunters that talk about, you know, Bigfoot has the ability to use infrasound. Mm-hmm. Bigfoot has the ability to cloak itself. Sasquatch has the ability for telekinesis, you know, all the strange things you hear. And I don't know if that's true or not, but perhaps Bigfoot can cloak itself. And the Glimmer Man is nothing more than these Sasquatch that are cloaking themselves.
Yeah, but we've never had like tales of Sasquatch nefariously trying to draw people into the woods.
No, I've never heard of that. I have heard of them, you know, kidnapping somebody and they spit snuff in their eyes and things like that. But
now you're talking.
You know, what was that guy's Ottman case?
Albert Osterman?
Albert Ottman, I think, something Ottman. Like that. I'd have to look it up. People are screaming at me from the other end of the phone. But yeah. Pretty cool. Well, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, I've got another one I'm going to share with you. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. We're back with Expanded Perspectives.
Word.
The Glimmer Man. I love me some Glimmer Man sightings.
Same.
I think I like them so much is because you don't know what the heck it is. It doesn't fit any category. It's not.
And we like Predator.
And of course, the Predator movie. Maybe that's it, right? Maybe I'm biased because I'm such a Predator fan.
I'm going to tell you straight up, that's my problem. The reason that I care for it is it's the best of my two favorite things, Predator and the Fae.
Predator and the Fae. And you watched Prey and you liked it.
Yes.
I heard that they might be coming back with a second season.
Man, I sure hope they do.
Right? That would be cool. But before we get out of here, I got another sighting. This took place near the Cahokia Mounds in Illinois, and there was a Glimmer Man sighting at the Cahokia Mounds.
Old school.
It says, this is 100% true and is really hard for me to share because anytime I have tried to tell someone else about it, I get laughed at and accused of just trying to pull their leg. I recently saw an article about a woman who was hunting and had seen an invisible, cloaked creature that she described as almost like the Predator from the movie of the same name. I read her story, and I saw the picture she took of this Predator. Now, as for her picture, I personally think it's a combination of a flare from the sun and a close-up of possibly her face or something. I'm not dismissing her story, though. Actually, quite the opposite. Since I, too, have encountered something similar, and is what has prompted me to seek out if anyone else has encountered a predator in the woods. Now, on to my encounter. When I was around 5 years old, I was playing by the edge of the woods behind my grandmother's house. I played there often, and my grandma just kept an eye on me from the kitchen or living room because the house had huge windows that faced the woods. She would come out every once in a while just to see what I was up to. I was obsessed with digging in the dirt and collecting unusual rocks and arrowheads that littered the land where my grandmother lived. I should mention this is in Midwest Illinois, not very far from the Cahokia Mounds, so finding arrowheads was actually not that uncommon. Anyways, that day I remember picking out a spot to dig. I had been out there for quite a while because I remember I had a pretty decent size hole going when something caught my eye up in the tree that I was next to. I almost don't know how to explain it, but it looked like almost a heat wave coming off the branch of the tree. It was fall. I remember this because I had on my pink jacket. And I remember thinking my mom was going to be very angry because I had dirt around the bottom of the arms from all the digging I was doing. I also remember there being a lot of leaves on the ground. Anyway, I'm staring at this heat wave, and I realized it's in the shape of a human. So here I am, 5 or 6 years old, and wondering why there's an invisible man standing in the tree. I remember feeling scared, but unsure of what to do. Then it started moving and making a faint clicking sound. That is about the time I decided that I was not supposed to be seeing this, and I hightailed it back into the house. My grandmother saw that I was pretty shaken, and I remember her telling me that all I saw was an angel. In my five-year-old mind, I didn't know what else it could be. I'd never heard of aliens or ghosts or monsters, so to me, it had to be an angel, because that's all my little mind could think of. Fast forward to when I'm about 12 years old. By this time, the encounter was way out of my mind. I loved watching action and sci-fi movies. My dad rented a movie called The Predator. I was watching it with him. And the first time you see the Predator, invisible, cloaked, I about crapped my pants. All the memories from that day digging the dirt came flooding back. I even asked my dad if the Predator was real, or if he knew if anyone or any animal that had the ability to cloak itself that he knew about. He told me no, that it was all fake. It wasn't like it is today where I could just Google it. I had no access to the internet, in fact. So again, I just kind of put it out of my mind. Fast forward to about the year 2004. I'm grown by this time. I have three small children. I just went through a separation from my husband. I moved to the next town over to an apartment with my kids. Now, these apartments are all one-level duplexes, with there being five total buildings. I was located in the last apartment of the last building. The apartments are considered in town, but they're actually kind of on the outskirts. There's a deep ditch that runs behind the buildings with a chain-link fence that separates the backyard from the ditch. There are about six or seven trees on our side of the fence. If you follow the ditch a little bit, you'll hit a small forest that eventually leads to the country with a larger forest and farmland beyond that. I'm a smoker, but would not smoke in the apartment because of the kids. So I often went out to the back porch. One night I was up late doing laundry and stuff after the kids went to bed. I decided to take a smoke break before I went to sleep. I'm back there on the porch and I started hearing this faint clicking sound. I thought, that's weird. And I immediately looked to the ditch because I had seen a groundhog out there a few days before and thought perhaps he was out there again. The yard is faintly lit from the outside light that is lit by a playground that's near my back porch. I didn't turn on my porch light. I didn't normally, if I was just going out for a quick smoke. I didn't see any groundhog or movement from the ditch, so I got back to smoking my cigarette. The faint clicking sound keeps happening, and a slight shift of movement makes me look up into the tree to the left of my porch. That's when I saw it. It's there. The same invisible thing I've seen several times since I was five. It's like a distortion, but in a humanoid shape. It's crouched down on the branch with an arm out, holding on to the trunk of the tree. I couldn't believe it. I was like, is this actually happening? Has it come to kill me from seeing it all those years ago? All I could think about was my kids in the apartment sleeping. I ran in, slammed the door, and locked it. I ran to the kids' room and made sure all the windows were locked. Then I just turned out the lights in the living room, and I stared out the blinds at the tree to see if I could catch another glimpse of it. I sat there for a good 10 minutes or so, but I couldn't see anything. I began to think that I'm just tired and maybe my mind was playing tricks on me. Just as I was finally talking myself down, my neighbor's dog comes running across the yard and starts barking at the tree at the same branch that I had seen this predator thing. That pretty much freaked me out because this dog was not a barker. I actually have never heard him bark at anything, even at the groundhog that had been hanging out in the ditch. This barking went on for a few minutes until I heard the neighbor lady, who owns the dog, call him back inside. The dog reluctantly turned to go back home, stopping every few feet to look back at the branch of the tree until he was out of my sight. I didn't sleep that night, and I've never seen anything like it again. I don't know what I saw to think of it. I'm a grown woman. I have kids, and I have a good career. I just want to know if anyone else has ever had an experience like this. I know what I saw, believe it or not. Thanks for taking the time to read this, Beverly. Well, I mean, it sounds like you saw the glimmer, man. I don't 100%. Know why, but she's been seeing it her whole life. And again, is it targeting her? Is that what's happening? Is that the commonality in all these stories? Is it chooses a young woman, it seems like mostly in these cases, and it follows you? It wants something. It wants you, or perhaps it wants your children. Perhaps you've been abducted by aliens and they've harvested some of your eggs and they're kind of just keeping tabs on you.
Well, you got to put that evil out there. Well, that's
scary. Saying, a possible scenario.
You might be right.
Right? I mean, do you have any possible scenarios?
No, because I don't understand this, these encounters. Look, it was easy to pigeonhole Glimmer Man before they started contacting people, before they started trying to lure you into the woods, before these other nefarious stories. Like, I was a lot better off not knowing that they were pulling these moves. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well.
Like, not knowing they're out there. I really, for some reason, it's mainly because I love it. It just feels fae to me. It feels like Watchers. Like, that's what they're doing. And maybe this is one of those things that's what makes them, that's what makes people go missing in some of these spots, is they grab you and take you off or flip you to the multiverse or whatever the heck they take you. But I don't understand why, like I said, nothing does something just for the heck of it.
Right. You wouldn't think.
You wouldn't think. So whatever this Glimmer creature is, whatever this Glimmer Man is, it is getting some sort of benefit out of its actions.
Yeah.
Whether it is gathering information and intel, you know, abduction or some sort of like that. Whenever they terrorize you, that you give them some sort of energy. That's the only things it can be. And whenever I think of that, it just lends me to think of the Fae every time.
I do too. I think it seems more Fae-like to me.
Yeah.
Just from all the, like, I know that there's not stories particularly talking about Fae being able to cloak themselves, but maybe they were. They just didn't know how to describe it then. I don't know, because, you know, before there was the Predator movie, it'd be really hard to explain to you what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But because of the movie, I can say, well, it looked like the Predator, and everybody instantly knows
what I like
that looks
is
like.
Some of the descriptions in those stories of it looked like jelly. It looked like cellophane. It looked like heat coming off the road. Like, those are perfect descriptions of the Predator.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, dude, I love it. I love those stories. Thanks for sharing them, Holmes.
Yep. If you got any stories of the Glimmer Man or anything else for that matter.
Yeah.
And you'd like to share it with us on the show, please do not hesitate. Email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show, 888-393-2783. Don't forget, we're going to be appearing September 2nd through September 3rd at the second annual Dogman Cryptid Conference in Fort Worth, Texas. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of cool guest speakers there, guys like Ken Gerhard, Josh Turner, David Weatherly, Ron Moorhead, Nick Redfern, Lyle Blackburn, Christopher Garantano, and much, much more. Me and Cam will be there.
That's right.
If you have any stories, you'd like to meet me and Cam, perhaps tell us your story. We're going to be there with some microphones and some audio recording devices.
Hanging out, having a good time.
Not only hear your story or have it read on the air, but you can actually tell it and then it'll appear on the air. So
that's right.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be very cool.
Same.
I'll put links to it in the show notes if you want to buy your tickets. You need to get on that quick before they sell out. Cam, what do you got planned for the rest of your week?
Not too much. Staying out of trouble, keeping my head down. I got some stuff I got to get taken care of this week. But other than that, that's about it. Trying to prepare for the summer. And yeah, that's it. The daughter's not really coming home yet. So she's still doing all of her stuff down in CSTAT. So it's different. You know, this is the first summer. We've not had anybody here. So it's a little odd. But other than that, everything's golden.
Right.
What about you? You got anything crazy going on besides work?
Nothing fun? I don't think we have anything fun going on this weekend.
Ah, well, we're going to
have to change
that. I
went to the horse races last weekend, so that was okay. I did okay.
Now, I did get to go kayaking with my granddaughter for her first time ever on the river kayaking. She's not quite two. She'll be two in June. And so she had a great time. So we got to do all that, and we spent some time doing that. But other than that, that's it. I mean, we might get to do that. But I think my wife's going out of town with one of her friends in the next couple of days. So I might be batching
Man,
it again.
She's on out of town all the time.
Well, if you were married to me, wouldn't you be gone all the time too?
It's a good point.
All right.
Good point. Before we get out of here, let's thank our wonderful sponsors, ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy by visiting expressvpn.com/expanded today. That's ExpressVPN. .com/expanded, and you can get an extra 3 months for free.
And folks, if y'all want to reclaim your health and arm your immune system like me and Big Fizzy over here, and you like free stuff like a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs, just go to athleticgreens.com/expanded to take ownership over your health, y'all. athleticgreens.com/expanded.
All right, folks, that's about all the time we have for this episode. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Camp.
Peace, y'all.